Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, June 10th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Parliamentary by-elections have been conducted in 16 constituencies to fill vacant posts left by expelled ZANU-PF members and recalled Movement for Democratic Change lawmakers amid nationwide reports of a low voter turnout.
We have voted. There wasn't a long queue. We just took 15 to 20 minutes and then we came back home.
The family of the late Amos Midzi, a former cabinet minister and ambassador to the United States, is blaming the ruling ZANU-PF party for driving him to his death.
And the family of missing political activist and journalist Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square and several organizations will this Sunday, mark 100 days after his disappearance with a prayer rally at the Highfield Zimbabwe grounds.
Parliamentary by-elections have been conducted in 16 constituencies to fill vacant posts left by expelled ZANU-PF members and recalled Movement for Democratic Change lawmakers amid nationwide reports of a low voter turnout. Our Harare correspondent visited some polling stations in the capital city and filed this report.
When Studio 7 arrived at Courtney Selu Primary School in Greendale in Harare East constituency, only 6 people had cast their ballots by 10 a.m., while about 61 had voted at Chemanza in Dzivarasekwa. Some polling officers said a considerable number of voters were turned away for failing to produce the required identification documents, while others had gone to vote at the wrong polling stations, as the voters' roll is polling station-based. One of the voters, Nancy Mawire, said that the queues were moving very fast today compared to previous elections.
We have voted. There wasn't a long queue, but we just took 15 to 20 minutes and then we came back home. It was different from all other years where there was a big queue and you would take the whole day to vote.
But many people like Benedict Shambare of Dzivarasekwa said they saw it fit not to go and vote so that they could fend for their families, as they are feeling the pinch of the current harsh economic environment in Zimbabwe.
I didn't go to vote today just because since 1999, there is no any reforms. Like now, going to vote, nothing is changing. For example, we say no reforms, no election. When they finish there, the reforms, that's where we go and we vote.
Martin Musinami, who also lives in Dzivarasekwa, said he saw no reason to go and cast his ballot in today's elections, arguing that the outcome of the polls is predetermined.
It's about ZANU-PF only. That's what's up. That's what's going on in Zimbabwe. And they see ZANU-PF things. ZANU-PF should stop rigging the elections.
These sentiments were echoed by Kambuzuma resident Gibson Chiurai.
We didn't go to vote because in Zimbabwe there is no peace. Without reforms, no election. We know that in Zimbabwe, ZEC was run by CIOs, brigadiers, and the police force.
A member of the MDCT Youth Assembly, Clifford Swachwayo, said voters appear to have heeded the call by his party's president, Morgan Tsvangirai, to boycott the polls due to lack of key democratic reforms. In headlands, independent parliamentary candidate Albert Mkaratirwa said there were several irregularities, chief among them voter intimidation by suspected ZANU-PF members.
People came out in their numbers to cast their vote today, but we had a problem whereby ZANU-PF had instructed these people to write the people's names before they voted or after voting. These names were written, they were purported to be written for a purpose to say one was going to get food aid or not, or one was going to get presidential input scheme, presidential inputs or not. So the people, we recorded that one as intimidation.
Radio 7 failed to get a comment from the ZANU-PF candidate, Christopher Chingosho, whose mobile phone was not being answered. The results of the by-elections are expected to be announced tomorrow, while observers who were monitoring the elections said they will make their reports public in due course. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Our correspondent, Taurai Shava, reports that there was a low turnout in most polling stations in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo.
At the various polling stations that Studio 7 visited, there were a few voters who were coming to cast their ballots after long intervals. At Stanley Hall in the Makokoba constituency, some residents in the surrounding area were going about their daily business, with some women and children fetching water from a bowser just outside the local polling station. At other polling stations, including Popoma High in the Mpopoma Pelandaba constituency and Pumula Community Hall in the Pumula constituency, the turnout was equally low. By lunchtime, nearly 140 people had cast their ballots at Pumula Community Hall, with 31 having been turned away for various reasons. Pumula resident Nomagugu Nkomo said although she knew that there was supposed to be a by-election in her area, she was not sure about the date of the poll.
What I knew was there were elections, but when, I don't know, because I once saw a paper saying vote for some ZANU guy, and I knew myself to be a registered voter until the last elections when I went to vote and my name was not on the voter's roll. So today I'm not voting.
Gomo said she expects ZANU-PF to win the by-elections, adding that this gives an opportunity for the party to show that it cares about the plight of the people of Bulawayo.
For me, this is the time for ZANU to redeem themselves if they were ever genuine about Bulawayo. Because as far as I know, I think they are promising people a lot of things. And seeing the chances are they are going to win, it's time for them to redeem themselves and deliver what they are saying.
Makokoba resident Mrs. Virginia Spanda said she hopes that those who will be elected will do everything they can to help create employment for Bulawayo residents, especially the youths who spend most of their time loitering the streets. Mpopoma youth Melu Sichuma shared similar sentiments.
It's important that whoever is elected prioritizes job creation and other opportunities for the youth. As it is, many of us have got good qualifications, but we can't get any jobs. We spend most of our time looking for jobs, but we can't even get them.
All Movement for Democratic Change formations have boycotted the polls, saying they will never participate in any elections until there are visible electoral reforms in Zimbabwe. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
Thanks, Taurai. In Mutare Sedangamvura Chikanga constituency, some people are bitter that more than a dozen schools were shut down to pave the way for the parliamentary by-elections in Manicaland.
The irate parents of school-going children said it was unfair that some schools were shut down while others were open on election day. Local resident Ernest Musirizo said he does not understand why her daughter's school was closed today, saying she has lost a lot of time for her studies.
It is very sad that they decided to close the schools. There are some schools that are open right now, but we are worried that our children did not go to school. How are they expected to perform?
Tendai Kachingwe with a child at Dangamvura Srijeko Primary was also upset.
I do not like it at all since my children have not been at school. They should have closed all schools in the constituency and not the few they shut down. Why is the question which I need answered?
Despite this, the by-election went ahead with voters like Edward Chiringa happy that there was no violence before the polls and on the election day. There are some people like Tendai Ngirandi of Shikanga who did not participate in the poll due to their Christian beliefs. One of the by-election candidates, Puwai Gamchirai of the Freedom Front, is satisfied with the election process.
I think my polling stations and
I am happy that the election was peaceful. There was no violence at all. Generally, everything was good.
ZANU-PF candidate Isa Mfumi is optimistic that he will win.
Yeah, I can say the elections, as of now, they are quite free and fair. no intimidation spotted. The situation is quite conducive for free and fair elections.
Vote counting is expected to start today and the results are likely to be announced tomorrow. Reporting for Studio 7 in Tare, this is Lueda Moyo.
There was also a low voter turnout at some polling stations in Urungwe West, Mashonaland West Province, where former ZANU-PF lawmaker Themba Mliswa tried to stop the poll, claiming that his supporters were allegedly being terrorized by ruling party activists. Reporter Arthur Chigoriwa has more details.
A large number of people, mostly elderly people, who tried to cast their votes were turned away as their names were not appearing on the voters' roll. About 161 were turned away at Ndarara, Madudzo, and Wasewa schools when they tried to cast their ballots. The angry villagers, who included 65-year-old Bernard Mapfumo, who has been voting for 35 years, accused polling officers of manipulating the election in favor of the ruling party.
How can my name be missing when I checked it last month? Some people could be voting in our place.
Polling officers refused to comment about these allegations, saying they were not cleared by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission to discuss such matters. ZEC chairperson Rita Makarao was not reachable for comment. There was long queues at some polling stations like Chiroto and Madudzo, while a few people cast their votes at Wasewa Primary School, where election officers were seen relaxing and doing other personal calls. Indications are that the Urungwe West by-election is likely to record less votes than those who cast their ballots in the 2013 harmonized elections won by President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party, though the result was questioned by opposition parties. There was a heavy presence of police inside and around all polling stations. ZANU-PF fielded Kit Guja in the by-election following Mulisa's recording from parliament by the ruling party. Reporting for Studio 7 in Urungwe, this is Arthur Achigoriwa.
Thanks, Arthur. In Cholocho, Believe Gaule campaign team manager for ZANU-PF's Cholocho North candidate, Professor Jonathan Moyo, tells reporters Tandekile Mhlanga that there was a good voter turnout in his constituency. Gaule dismisses allegations from civic groups Heal Zimbabwe and Zimbabwe Electoral Support Network that there was voter intimidation by ZANU-PF officials in some polling stations.
People are turning out in large numbers, really. Especially in the morning, there was a good turnout, really. And everything is going smoothly. There are no hassles at the moment. And what I can tell you is that especially a by-election, at times you witness a voter apathy, but it would appear as if out here in Cholocho North, people are really voting in large numbers, and really it's quite pleasing.
There are allegations from non-governmental organizations like Heal Zimbabwe that people were voting according to ZANU-PF cell structures led by chairpersons and chiefs, especially in places like Mqechwa Primary School. Can you shed more light on this?
Yeah, I don't think that is true, according to what I know and what we've been doing on the ground. People can say whatever they want to say, but I don't think that is happening really on the ground. I disagree with you, with whoever is saying that, because I haven't witnessed that. And as we are moving around here, there is nothing like that. There is nothing of that nature. Things are moving smoothly, and really people are adhering to the rules.
That was Believe Gaule, campaign team manager for ZANU-PF's Cholocho North candidate, Professor Jonathan Moyo, on the line from Cholocho.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Zimbabweans living in South Africa and Britain have a torrid time in regularizing their status.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
U.S. President Barack Obama Wednesday ordered 450 more American military trainers to Iraq in a new effort to bolster Iraqi troops as they try to retake Ramadi, the Anbar provincial capital seized last month by Islamic State insurgents.
Burundi's embattled president has officially delayed the presidential election after weeks of protests sparked by his decision to run for a third term. President Pierre Nkurunziza issued a decree Wednesday that moves the presidential vote from June 26th to July 15th and also revises the dates for National Assembly and Senate elections.
And FIFA says it has suspended the bidding process for the 2026 World Cup because of the ongoing corruption scandal involving the World Football Governing Body.
Zimbabweans living in Britain are concerned that the recently elected Conservative Party may kick out foreigners without proper documents who have stayed in that country for many years under the Labour Party, which appeared to sympathize with their predicament. The Labour Party had apparently blocked the deportation of Zimbabweans with indications that they were not happy with the tense political situation in that country. At the same time, Zimbabweans living in South Africa are still finding it hard to regularize their status in South Africa. Some are currently detained at Lindela Holding Camp waiting for deportation. For Perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube spoke with Ephraim Tapa of the Zimbabwe Vigil and Ngabuto Mabena, chairman of an organization catering for the needs of Zimbabweans in South Africa. Tapa says life is tough for Zimbabweans without proper immigration papers in Britain.
As far as things stand now, we have just come out of May 7 election here in the United Kingdom, which was won by the Conservatives. They are quite eager, of course, to reduce the immigration numbers down. And immigration is a hot issue here. They have put out an array of measures to ensure that this country does not become attractive to potential immigrants, and also that those who are here illegally can be easily deported.
Mr. Mabena, are you facing the same problems as people who are in London?
Yeah, I think the problems are almost similar. 4 years ago, South African government issued special permits to Zimbabweans, 245,000. But over the years, you now have more Zimbabweans that have been coming to South Africa since 2010 who are undocumented, who don't have any documentation. So that's a huge challenge, given also the xenophobia attacks that we saw in the last few weeks. Mm. And the South African government, this response in terms of Operation Fiela, purporting to be flash, whereas it is targeting foreign nationals. We have seen a number of Zimbabweans that have been arrested, taken to Lindela, awaiting deportation.
Back to you, Mr. Tapa. Do you see Zimbabweans managing to process their documents?
Usually the Home Office will consider each case on its own merits. So we see, of course, if you've got a strong case, if you are genuinely in need of asylum or international protection, that will be granted to you. But suffice it to say that the government that is now in place, they've taken a hardline stance over the issue of immigration.
Let's turn to South Africa, Mr. Mabena. There are Zimbabweans who are supposed to regularize their status and were supposed to be deported at one stage. What happened?
Well, human rights organizations approached the High Court in Johannesburg, and the deportations were suspended for now, but the people are still holding cells in the deportation center we call it Lindela. But the other thing that is happening is, like I said earlier on, that quite a number of Zimbabweans are not documented in South Africa. With the melting down of the economy in Zimbabwe, we're expecting more people to be crossing the river to South Africa, illegal or otherwise. At the same time, it is now difficult for a Zimbabwean who is not skilled to apply for a work visa. Quite a number of your professional teachers in particular were using what we call a quota permit. At this time, it has been scrapped. It is now under the critical skills, and most teachers don't possess those skills. So a number of them couldn't renew their contracts, and they are basically now illegal in South Africa.
And Mr. Tapa, what's the best way for Zimbabweans to regularize their status in Britain?
The best way and the only way possible is for them to be involved with the Zimbabwe Democracy Campaign, a human rights campaign. That's in as far as asylum is concerned. And then we are looking at Article 8, where we are talking of right to family. Those who are here have got the right to marry somebody who is a citizen of this country. They may regularize their stay using the right to family clause. There may be also issues to do with compassionate leave to remain, which is maybe given should somebody present with critical health issues which cannot be addressed in their home country. And then there is also the critical skills shortage avenue. There is also the student visa. People can apply to come to the UK to study here. So there are various avenues that are open to Zimbabweans here.
That was Ephraim Tapper of the Zimbabwe Vigil speaking with Studio 7 from Manchester, Britain. You also heard from Mabuto Mabena on the line from South Africa.
The family of the late Amos Midzi, a former cabinet minister and ambassador to the United States, is blaming the ruling ZANU-PF party for driving him to his death. Midzi's sudden death yesterday has been ruled a suicide. The former Harare provincial chairperson, who was a strong ally of ousted Vice President Joyce Mujuru, was removed from his position after he was accused of funding factionalism in the party and handed a 5-year suspension. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu reports.
Police and pathologists have confirmed that the death of Amos Midzi was suicide by poisoning after his preliminary autopsy report was released today. Midzi was found unresponsive in his Ford Ranger car at Munandi Farm in Beatrice on Tuesday. His farm manager made a report to the police and the ZRP Beatrice, with Criminal Investigation Department's Homicide Section and pathologists attended the scene. Reports say the body was inspected and no injuries were noted. But 1-liter container of a liquid methanadophos, which was 3/4 full, Domicam tablets and a cup containing a bluish liquid were found in the car. Family spokesman and brother of the deceased, Dr. Stanley Midzi, confirmed that they had received the preliminary autopsy report.
The report that we got is not yet a written report. It's a verbal report that I got when I met the forensic pathologist who did the post-mortem. What he indicated was that from their initial findings, they did not find anything to suggest foul play in terms of not finding any physical injuries on his body as well as internal injuries. Well, what they did was to collect samples, what you call tissue samples, from a number of organs, which have now been sent for toxicology analysis.
But Midzi's brother, though, pointed a finger at ZANU-PF's troubles for having stressed the late Ambassador Midzi.
Oh, yes, for sure. You might be aware that my brother was one of the number of people who were affected by the changes, the developments that have been happening in the ruling party since last year. And for sure, he was not spared those issues. But to make it worse, for my brother, this was now a third round of facing such enormous challenges. Our brother was betrayed by a system that he had worked for the whole of his life, which treated him unfairly. Until this moment that led to tragic outcome.
The death of Midzi, though, has united the warring ZANU-PF factions. Expelled ZANU-PF members, former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, Didmus Mutasa and Rugare Gumbo, paid homage to Midzi, joining their bitter rivals, ZANU-PF political commissar Xavier Kasukwere and the ruling ZANU-PF acting chairman for Harare province, Godwills Masimirembwa, at Midzi's residence in Mount Pleasant, Harare. Masimirembwa described Midzi as a hard worker who worked wonders for the ruling party in the opposition stronghold of Harare. Expelled former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo concurred with Masimirembwa.
But what we can say is that suddenly we've lost a strong party leader.
We also asked Gumbo if Midzi was showing any signs of distress lately.
I personally did not talk to him since Congress.
But will Midzi be declared a national hero, having worked tirelessly for the party before his suspension? Masimire Mbwa responds.
We are carrying out consultations with members of the National Consultative Assembly, the Central Committee and political members in Harare.
His brother, though, says they are making their own plans as a family and they will bury him at a private cemetery in Harare.
I was able to buy a grave for him at Glen Forest. And all the plans are proceeding well as we speak, so that we lay to rest my brother in peace this week on Saturday at Glen Forest.
Midzi becomes the third former cabinet minister to allegedly commit suicide after Edmund Garwe in 2001 and veteran nationalist Maurice Nyagumbo, who died in 1999. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington, D.C.
The family of missing political activist and journalist Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square, along with church, civil society and opposition party leaders, will this Sunday mark 100 days after his disappearance with a prayer rally at the Highfields Zimbabwe grounds. Dzamara disappeared 96 days ago and government and police have professed ignorance over his whereabouts. The High Court ordered the government to find Dzamara. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to Dr. Patson Dzamara, the brother of Itai, who says the family is yet to receive any updates from investigators.
We have decided to come together and put our hands together as we pray and seek to augment the noise and the pressure behind the demanding of Itai's release.
And what are you hearing from the police and the government itself on the disappearance of Itai?
Well, apparently, unfortunately, we have not had any formal engagement whatsoever with the government, and that is why the same applies with the police. We only engage them at the initial stages of this saga when they just take the report, and that was it. But as far as the culmination and the progression of their whatever is alleged to be an investigation, they have not actually approached us as a family. They have not had anything from the government. They have not had anything from the police. And that in itself is actually worrying.
That was Dr. Patson Dzamara, the brother of Itai, on the line from Harare.
And in our mailbag tonight, we received this message from Roger Mwinga in Mushumbi Pools, Guruve, who says, I wish to give you all thumbs up for the service you are providing. Keep on giving us unbiased news.
Remember to send your audio messages at this WhatsApp number, 1-202-465-0318. That number again, 1-202-465-0318.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with the experts and you, the listeners, about Zimbabwe's parliamentary by-elections held today.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Parliamentary by-elections have been conducted in 16 constituencies to fill vacant posts.
The family of the late Amos Midzi, a former cabinet minister and ambassador to the United States, is blaming the ruling ZANU-PF party for driving him to his death.
And the family of missing political activist and journalist Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square and several organizations will this Sunday mark 100 days after his disappearance with a prayer rally.
That's our broadcast this evening. And now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.